This is Audible.
Harper Audio presents Savor You, a fusion novel by Kristen Proby. Performed by Sebastian York and Abby Craden. Prologue. Mia. Are you kidding me? I stare at my doctor dumbfounded. Are you motherfucking kidding me? I'm not, she says with a satisfied grin and pats my knee. False positive pregnancy tests are more common than you think. But the whole damn purpose of a pregnancy test is to tell the truth. My fingers are shaking now. Oh my God, what did I do?
Well, it can't think for itself, and sometimes it's wrong.
Sometimes it's wrong. I swallow hard so I don't throw up all over her. He married me, I whisper. We've only been married for 4 days.
You can always keep trying to have children, she says.
You don't understand. He married me because the pregnancy test was positive. I swallow again and impatiently brush at the tears on my cheeks.
Mia, that's no way to keep a man.
No. I shake my head and glare at her. I didn't do it on purpose. I just got pregnant, and the next thing I knew, we were at the Justice of the Peace.
I was 20 once,
she says, and pats my knee again, and I want to deck her condescending ass.
Young people can be impulsive. I'm sure you can have the marriage annulled if that's what you want to do. In the meantime, I recommend you going on the pill.
The rest of the appointment is a blur of prescriptions and another pat on the knee, and then I'm in my car, staring at the plain gold band on my left hand, sobbing. There is no other reason for Camden to be married to me. He's never told me he loves me. Hell, we never even officially said we were dating. We moved in together as roommates, and it evolved into hot and convenient sex. He was just doing the right thing. And now I have to do the right thing, too. I can fix this. No one knows that we got married. Not even my best friends. And he won't be home for at least another 4 hours from his shift at the pub. Once I'm in our small Seattle apartment, I start blindly throwing my things into suitcases, and when those run out, I use garbage bags. I have to go before he gets home. I can't face him. I can't tell him that I was stupid, and maybe too hopeful that a sexy and driven man could truly want to be with me. Once my car is loaded, I write a short note. Camden, my doctor assured me today that the pregnancy test was wrong. I'm not pregnant. There was no need to be hasty and get married. We are free to find someone we truly love to spend our lives with. Best wishes, Mia. I lay the paper on the kitchen counter and take one last look around our apartment. We've only lived here for 3 months, but there are so many memories. Sex and food and laughter. But there wasn't any love, at least not from Camden. And in spite of all of my faults, I deserve love, too. Chapter 1. Mia. Oh, hello, Camden. I smile and tilt my head ever so slightly to the side. I'm standing in our office in front of the large, full-length mirror between mine and Addie's desks. Thank you. I've let it grow since I last saw you. No time to get a haircut when you run a successful restaurant. I sigh and stare at myself in the mirror. Don't brag. That's not nonchalant. I narrow my freshly lined eyes and consider what to say. What's that? You've missed me? How nice. I admit that I've hardly given you a thought in the past 10 years. I smirk and then roll my eyes. That's the biggest lie of my life. No, I've never watched your show. I practice raising just one eyebrow,
Not quite as menacing as the Rock, but in that sophisticated way that some women can do. Like my best friend Addie, and fail miserably. Both eyebrows go up, and I just look surprised. So, you're impotent. I nod sagely and try to look sympathetic. That must be horrible for you.
Who the fuck are you talking to?
Riley, another of my best friends and co-owner of Seduction, asks as she hurries into our office.
No one.
I reply with a sigh and tease my hair for the 40th time.
I'm practicing what to say when I see Camden.
I don't think you should lead with a conversation about his dick, she says and then chuckles, although it's the most unique icebreaker I've ever heard of. So do whatever works for you.
It's been 10 years, I whisper. How is this even happening?
Why didn't you tell us about him?
Riley counters, and I turn to face her.
Because he was a dude I dated in culinary school. It wasn't serious.
You freaking married him.
I shrug and turn away, still avoiding the conversation. Well, I'm not married to him now, am I? And it's just my luck that he became a celebrity chef and that he's going to be in my kitchen. Does God hate me?
I've seen Camden, Riley says with a slow smile. He's a sexy celebrity chef. Eye candy in your kitchen isn't a horrible thing.
I shake my head. If it were anyone but Camden, I would agree. But the man got hotter in the last 10 years.
How does that even happen?
You know how I feel about sharing my kitchen.
You've made it quite clear, she says with a laugh. It's not forever. By the time we're ready to tape episodes for the show, we'll be on a set. For now, Trevor wants you guys to meet and to start brainstorming recipe ideas and get to know each other a bit.
If we're in competition with each other, why do we need to get to know each other? I should be able to just show up and kick his ass and then call it a day.
She smirks.
There's nothing spontaneous about spontaneous television.
I frown and cross my arms over my chest, but Riley immediately wraps her arms around me and gives me a tight hug. I don't love to be touched, so I stiffen, but that just makes her hold on harder.
You're touching me.
I love you, Mia.
Damn it. I love you, too.
You're not a grouchy woman, she says, and I can't help but grin. You're beautiful, and you're a genius in the kitchen.
Now you're just sucking up.
She kisses my cheek and pulls away. I rub the spot on my cheek and sigh.
Fine. I'll turn the grouchy level down a bit.
You know, all I ever wanted was to cook. I just wanted to open this place with you guys and cook delicious food. I never signed on to be a TV chef.
I know, she says with a nod. And you've been...
difficult.
Awesome about it.
I try to cock my brow again, but it doesn't work.
You may grumble, but you still do what we ask, and that's more than I ever expected. I don't know how you feel about meeting with Camden today, because you don't ever talk to us about it. But I can tell you this. You're beautiful. That blue top looks amazing. He's going to swallow his tongue.
I don't care, I lie.
Honey, you're a woman. Of course you care.
She checks the time on her phone.
You should be here any minute. We're meeting in the bar.
Not the kitchen?
No, you can show him your kitchen yourself. It's your space.
She turns to leave, and I take one last look in the mirror.
You've got this. He's just a man.
And you've got this.
I nod confidently, smooth my hands down my black skirt, and flip my curly black hair behind my shoulder as I leave the safety of my office and walk to the bar.
Our restaurant is simply stunning. If I didn't own it, I would love to work here. We've expanded recently, adding 2 dozen more tables. The gray hardwood floors gleam in the low light. The chairs are plush and inviting, and the booths are deep, framed by heavy curtains for a more intimate experience. Not to mention, the food is remarkable, if I do say so myself. I walk into the bar and immediately spot Camden. His back is to me,
but I'd recognize him anywhere.
He's a bit broader now, his shoulders and arms nicely wrapped in his white button-down shirt. But his hair is the same light brown, if a bit longer than before. It used to beg for my fingers to mess it up. And, let's be honest, even sitting down I'd recognize his ass anywhere.
He's talking with Trevor, the show's executive producer and Riley's new husband. Riley is there, along with Addie, Cammie, and Kat, the other co-owners of Seduction, and my very best friends.
I take a deep breath and wrap all the confidence I can muster around me, then walk steadily to the table. Hello. Camden turns with a smile, and I swear everything in me just stills. I can't smile or walk, or even give him the up-and-down once-over greeting that I decided upon last night. All I can do is stare into his deep blue eyes and lock my knees so I don't fall on my ass. Damn him.
Mia.
Hearing my name from his lips feels like an out-of-body experience.
How are you?
I'm well, I reply and hold my hand out for his. He shakes it, but rather than let go, he kisses the back of my hand. The girls give each other looks of surprise, and I quickly retrieve my own hand. And you?
I'm great.
Someone, Kat, I think, puts a glass of wine in my hand, and I take a long sip, needing the liquid courage.
You know each other? Trevor asks.
But he already knows the answer to that. I'm sure Riley told him everything she knows, which isn't much.
We used to,
Camden says, still holding my gaze.
A long time ago.
A long time. I agree with a nod and walk to the opposite side of the table. I can't sit next to him without smelling him, and the fact that he still smells the same doesn't bode well for me. He's spicy. Like thyme or rosemary. I don't think I've met anyone before or since him who could smell delicious and so fucking masculine all at once. I've been attracted to this man since I was 19 years old. I remember what he looks like naked. Dear sweet Jesus, he's seen me naked. I never should have agreed to this.
Do you want some more?
Kat asks with a grin.
More what?
Wine. You suck that down like a champ.
I frown down at my glass and set it away from me. Oh, no. But it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
That's my philosophy, Cammie says with a nod.
So I know this is going to be a competition show,
Camden says, pulling me back to the task at hand.
But I don't have many of the specifics. Well, it's not going to be a surprise show,
Trevor says.
I'm not going to throw lemon peel and mushrooms your way and demand that you make it into a masterpiece in 14 minutes. Okay,
Camden says with a nod.
How will this work? I want you and Mia to do some brainstorming on recipes. Dishes that are a challenge, but fun to watch you make. If you have signature dishes you're known for, or if you have a specific recipe coming up in your new cookbook, that would be fantastic. For this pilot episode, we'll do 5 recipes, then choose our favorite 3 for the actual show.
What are they competing for? Cammie asks and sips her water. Her blue eyes are full of humor as she looks back and forth between us. Fame? Fortune? Their own cooking show?
They already have those.
Trevor replies with a laugh.
I was thinking bragging rights.
That's boring,
Addie says with a frown. She tucks her blonde hair behind her ear, then taps her lips in thought.
Maybe they can win a certain amount of money to be donated to their favorite charity.
I like that, I reply with a nod. Neither of us needs money. I look to Camden for confirmation. He doesn't say anything, just holds my gaze and nods in agreement.
We should make donations to a charity. We can switch it up each week.
That's a good idea,
Kat says with a nod. And Trevor makes notes in his notebook.
Will we be cooking at the same time?
I ask.
Yes, you'll be using the same kitchen together. How do we know that Mia won't cheat?
My head whips up in surprise, but Camden is grinning at me.
I won't have to cheat to kick your ass, I reply.
You sound confident.
Cooking is what I do best. His eyes smolder, just like they used to when he was thinking about sex, and I have to look away from him and turn my attention to Trevor. What you're saying is, you haven't come up with any recipes yourself. Shouldn't you assign them to us?
You just said that cooking is what you do best. I'm not a chef. I want you guys to play with it. When do we begin filming?
Camden asks.
Next Monday.
A week away? I demand. That means I have to see Camden for a whole week.
That should give you time to decide on recipes and strategy,
Trevor says with a nod.
Surely Camden can't take this much time away from his regular gig, Addie says, and I vow right here and now to bake her brownies every day for the rest of her life.
I'm free,
Camden says with a smile.
My other show's wrapped for the season, so I'm good. I don't want to rush this,
Trevor says,
and I want the show to succeed.
Do you and Camden know each other well? Cammy asks. How did you choose him?
I cast him in his current show,
Trevor replies.
Trev and I go way back,
Camden confirms.
I think we've been at the network about the same amount of time.
Trevor nods. And I'm still stuck on having to spend time with Camden for a whole week. Am I going to have to do this with every competitor for each episode? Spend a week coming up with a menu before we film? That seems stupid.
Trevor laughs.
No. We've decided to just focus on this first episode to start and to see how the audience receives it, and then we can work on more shows.
I narrow my eyes at him. Why do I think you're not telling me the whole truth?
I have no idea,
Trevor replies. I also have to work this week, I remind everyone. I'll work with Camden, but I still have a kitchen to run. I was going to speak to you about that, Cammy begins. She's the CPA and money guru of our operation. We have the budget to hire on some more kitchen help. I think you should consider it. No.
I can help,
Camden says and then shrugs when we all stare at him.
I'm here anyway. I've been told that my dishes don't suck.
You don't know the menu. I cannot work next to this man every day. I'll climb him like a damn tree after the first day.
I can learn.
Think about it, Addie says. You don't have to decide now. Did no one hear me say no?
Grouchy,
Riley says between her teeth, and I sit back in my seat, staring at her. Her eyes widen, and I can hear her thoughts. Stop being difficult. I sigh and resign myself to this weird twist of fate. Camden is back in my life. I never thought that would happen. The culinary world isn't huge, but I've been careful to make sure we haven't crossed paths in all of these years, and now, here we are, working together. I'll think about the offer, I say reluctantly. We will work in my kitchen this week, but we're filming the show on set.
Yes, Trevor says. The set has been made to look exactly like the kitchen here at Seduction. I'd like to see your kitchen,
Camden says. He may as well have just said he'd like to see me naked. My kitchen is the most intimate part of me. But I just smile and stand. This way.
I'll catch up with you both later,
Trevor says. I walk ahead of Camden and pray that he's not staring at my ass. I'm a bit heavier than I was when I knew him years ago. Not much, but a bit. And it's all settled in my ass.
You have a beautiful restaurant,
he says from behind me. Thank you. I nod and push through the kitchen door, holding it open for him. He stops next to me and takes everything in.
Clean. Efficient. Top of the line.
It's all of those things. I agree and give him the tour. I show him the two walk-in refrigerators and freezers. I show him where I keep everything. I avoid looking at him or touching him. Especially touching him. But then it occurs to me, he's not avoiding me, and I was the one who left. Shouldn't he be pissed? Why are you here? I ask suddenly and turn to look him in the eye. The expression on his handsome face doesn't change, and for a minute,
I don't think he's going to answer me. He's changed so much, and yet he's exactly the same. He's filled out. His shoulders are wider, his jaw more square, but his eyes are the same.
I don't know,
he finally says.
My first reaction was to turn Trevor down, especially when he told me I'd be working with you.
I nod. Seems logical.
But then I thought about it, and I decided that I wanted to see you. And at some point, not today, I'll want to talk to you.
You're talking to me now. He raises a brow, perfectly, of course.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Look,
today isn't the day for this conversation,
he says. He reaches out to touch my hair and I flinch away. His gaze darkens. I don't like to be touched.
That's new.
I shake my head. No, it's really not.
You didn't mind when I touched you.
You're right. He steps back and seems to take me in from the top of my head to my feet, and I stand here, wondering if he can see the extra pounds and the extra miles of life that I carry around these days.
You're as beautiful as you ever were.
I smirk. Thanks for saying so. You look great. I'm glad you're doing well.
When do you want to get started?
Tomorrow morning. We will have to start early because I have to begin lunch prep at about 10:30.
Does 7:30 work?
Sure. I cringe inside. That'll mean less sleep for me, but I'll make it work. I'll meet you here.
Excellent.
He turns to leave and then stops and looks back at me.
It's good to see you, Mia.
I just nod, and then he's gone, and I'm standing in my empty kitchen alone. How did I let them talk me into this? Are you okay? Addie asks from the doorway. I turn to look at her and shrug. Yeah, I think it's still kind of surreal. She smirks. I bet. He's handsome. He seems nice. And he looks at you like you hung the moon. Please. I shake my head and pull potatoes out of a bin to peel them. He doesn't even know me. He used to, Addie mutters. She looks fantastic as usual. Addie runs the front of the house, and with a background in fashion, she is always put together. She's wearing her glasses today, which only makes her look more mysterious and beautiful. Kat walks into the kitchen, followed by Riley and Cammy. Are we having a party? I ask my business partners. A dude you used to be married to just left our restaurant, Cammy replies. Yes, I was here, I remind her. We want to make sure you're good. I can bring you more wine if you need it. I just got a fabulous new Cabernet from France I've been dying to try. As our wine bar manager, Kat is excellent in her job. She's also excellent at keeping us liquored up if we need it. I have to work, I remind them, and I appreciate you all being worried about me, but I'm fine. It actually went better than I expected. We've known you a long time, Mia, Cammy says, narrowing her eyes. And we have your back. If you're not comfortable with this, I'm fine. I sigh and look each of them in the eyes. They're my best friends, my business partners, and they know me better than anyone else. Honest. Okay, Kat nods. Let's get out of her kitchen before she throws a potato at us. Good plan, I agree and shift my focus to peeling potatoes. But you'll tell us if you're ever not okay? Riley asks. Sure. I plaster a smile on my face and make a shoe motion with my hand. Now get the hell out of my kitchen. She's so bossy, Cammy says as they all file out of the kitchen, and I'm left with my own thoughts. I saw Camden today, and it didn't kill me. Yet.
Chapter 2. Camden. I come to Portland often. It's a foodie's paradise, and I enjoy visiting a few times a year. I've known that Mia lives here, and I'd heard through the restaurant Grapevine that she'd opened her own place. Until today, I haven't visited it. It seemed respectful to stay away. Mia made it clear years ago that she was moving on with a life that didn't include me. Showing up at a restaurant just seemed like a douche move in the past. But when the job offer came in for this gig, I was torn between wanting to jump at it and turning it down flat. Then, late one night, with only my insomnia and fuzzy brain, I replied to Trevor's email and accepted the job. I've had relationships since Mia. None that lasted long, and none that I would have considered taking to the till death do we part phase. Having just ended a brief relationship, I thought it might be time to see her face to face, to talk to her, and to see if the chemistry is still there. I'm no expert, but I'd say it's still there. She's beautiful. I couldn't stop looking at her, listening to her voice. It's like I'd been in the desert for a week, and she was a cool drink of water. Well, my sister, Stephanie, asks as I walk into the vacation rental we have for the week. How was it? It was, I tilt my head. Interesting. I walk past her to the kitchen and retrieve a bottle of water from the fridge, just as my brother-in-law, Chip, returns from a run around the neighborhood. He's panting and sweaty and steals my water for himself. Knowing that I'd be in town for a while, I rented this house rather than stay in a hotel. Steph and Chip live up in Seattle and came down for the week to relax. Now that I live in L.A. full-time, I don't see them as often as I'd like. Thanks, Chip says with a grin. I reach for another and snap the top off, take a long drink, and smile at my sister. Talk, she demands. There's not much to say, I reply, and lean my hips against the countertop. It was just an initial meeting. I got the tour, and we start working tomorrow morning. That's not what I want to know. I feel good about it, I answer, deliberately avoiding any talk of Mia. That's not what I want to know either. Chip rolls his eyes and kisses his wife on the forehead. Leave the man alone. No, she says, and props her hands on her hips. She's in full-on big sister mode. Tell me about her. Who? Chip laughs and tosses his empty bottle in the recycle bin. I'm going to throat punch you, Steph says with narrowed eyes. You're so violent. I smirk and then shrug. She looks great. The restaurant is pretty amazing. It's a fresh, fun concept with the aphrodisiacs on the menu and the atmosphere is romantic. They've done a really great job. And what? Is she single? I scowl at her. I didn't ask. And that's not what I'm here for, Steph. I'm here to work. And to check her out, Steph replies. I never should have told you that I was doing this show with her. You're right, Chip says with a nod. You know how nosy your sister is. I'm not nosy, she insists. He's my baby brother, and I've taken care of him all by myself since he was a teenager. I'm not a teenager now, I remind her, and then wrap my arms around her to give her a hug. I might be a little nosy, she admits. I admit I wanted to see her. I pull back and shrug. There's still chemistry there, but I can tell that she's not interested in anything personal. How can you tell? Steph asks. She's cold, distant, didn't even want to look me in the eyes. She rolls her eyes. Men can be so dumb. You made her uncomfortable given the circumstances, but that doesn't mean she's not interested. You don't know her, and she doesn't know you anymore. If you don't want anything personal between you, do the show and walk away, and she can do the same. No harm, no foul. But if you spend some time together, and you fall in love, well, that's pretty cool. I want to be in the wedding. Hold on there, fast girl. I shake my head. No one is talking about love. Least of all you, she replies, making me frown. I'm going to end this conversation. I take a drink of water. I'm going to seduction tonight for dinner. You're both welcome to join me if you want. Is that even a question? Steph asks Chip. Does he honestly think I don't want to go? He's not stupid, Chip says with a laugh. We're in, bro. It'll be good to see her again, Steph says. Does she look the same? No, she's sexier than I remember. Pretty much. She's such a pretty girl, she says. I thought we changed the subject. You did, Chip says. My wife is going to be talking about this all week. You don't have to stay, I say immediately, making them both laugh. It was good to see you. I'm on vacation, she reminds me with a wink, and I'm excited to eat at Mia's place tonight. I nod and leave them, closing myself up in my bedroom. I need to think about some recipe ideas for tomorrow. I need to not think about how long Mia's hair is or how her curves filled out the t-shirt she was wearing. I definitely shouldn't think about how amazing and soft her skin looked. And when she laughs, I just can't take my eyes off her. Accepting this project might be the worst mistake of my life. I thought I was over her. Hell, I am over her. But not even 2 minutes after seeing her again, I wanted to strip her naked and fuck her senseless. The sex between us was always amazing. But now, I have to keep my hands to myself and be professional. I take a deep breath and then laugh at myself. How could I possibly be so attracted to a woman who left me without a backward glance 10 years ago? She didn't even say goodbye in person. She was just gone. I need some answers to questions I've carried for 10 years, and I'll get them. I'll do the show, and then I'll move on. Easy. Oh, you were right, Steph says later that night after we're seated at our table. This place is beautiful. I nod and glance around. The lighting is low, and each table has flameless candles burning. The booths against the walls are tucked behind heavy curtains, giving couples an intimately cozy experience. The artwork is provocative and all originals by local artists. Just like the name of the place suggests, it's sexy. It's good that we had reservations, Chip says. And it's a Wednesday, Steph adds. That's unusual. Trevor says it's like this every night, I reply as I read the menu. It's not a huge menu, but it's diverse and has something for just about everyone. The waitress returns to take our order, and I decide on the swordfish. After our meals arrive, and after just a few bites, I see Mia come out of the kitchen and take a quick trip through the dining room. She's stopping at tables to say hello, and I assume to make sure that the food is satisfactory. She smiles at each individual person, laughs with them, and even stops to have a conversation. She does look great, Steph says with a grin. Mia's long dark hair is pulled up under her white chef's hat. She's in the white coat and dark pants, but she makes it look sexier than fuck. She's okay, I reply and smile, if you like that sort of thing. He likes that sort of thing, she informs Chip. I'll be back. You'll miss saying hello to Mia, Steph says. You came here to see her. I don't want to make her uncomfortable. Steph rolls her eyes and I stand to walk to the restroom. I don't know why I don't want to talk with her tonight. I'm still getting my bearings where she's concerned, and my sister is too observant. I wanted to see her in action, and I wanted to taste her food. I didn't know that she'd make the rounds through the dining room. I take a quick trip to the restroom, and on my way out, almost run right into Addison. Well, hi, Camden, she says with a big smile. I saw your name on the reservation list. How is everything? It's great. You have a fantastic place here, Addie. We do, she agrees, nodding her head. Is that your sister? I look over my shoulder, following Addie's gaze. Yes, that's Stephanie and her husband Chip. Mia must have said something funny. Both Steph and Mia are laughing loudly, their heads tossed back. Mia touches Steph's shoulder, and that sets my teeth on edge. She said she doesn't like to be touched, I murmur. She's not being touched, she's touching. That's different, Addie replies and pats my shoulder. She obviously likes your sister. They've met before. Addie just nods. She's one of the best people I know. I turn my attention back to her. My sister? No, my sister. I don't remember a time in my life when I didn't have Mia in it. If that's not the same as being sisters, I don't know what is. She has her defenses up, and it's not easy for her to trust. She's stubborn and she works too hard, but she's also loyal almost to a fault, and when she loves you, she loves so completely that your life will never be the same. Why are you telling me this?
I don't know, she says with a shrug. I guess I can just see the way you look at her. None of us know exactly what happened between you years ago. She doesn't speak of it, ever.
I turn to look at Mia again and feel my heart pound harder. And she'd be pissed if she knew I was saying any of this. So I'll just end with this. She's so good, Camden, and I don't want to see her hurt. Me either. She nods and walks away, and I stop to look at the woman in question again. She's still talking to Steph and Chip. Her cheeks are flushed from the hot kitchen. Her blue eyes are happy. There's one stray piece of hair that's escaped from the back of her hat. I want to twist that hair around my finger. I walk back over and take my seat. What's so funny?
Oh, nothing, Mia says, waving me off. How is everything?
This fish is a little dry. Her eyes narrow on me, and I can't help but laugh. I'm kidding. It's delicious.
Be nice, Steph says. Why are men such shits?
Good question, Mia says. Don't forget to call me. I'd love to chat with you.
Oh, I won't forget, Steph promises.
Mia nods and moves on to the next table. What was that all about?
I'd forgotten how funny she is, Steph says and takes a bite of her spaghetti. This is the best red sauce I've ever had.
I thought mine was the best you've ever had, I reply.
That was before I had this. Sorry,
she shrugs a shoulder. She does look great, maybe a little tired, I noticed. So, you're going to call her? She takes another bite and then nods.
Yeah, I think I'll see if she wants to get pedicures or something.
Why? She stares at me and then takes another bite of her food.
Because I like her?
I nod. Do you not want me to see her? I don't mind either way.
I think he's lying,
she says to Chip, who's been wise and had food in his mouth constantly through this conversation. He just shrugs one shoulder and takes another bite of his steak.
Why would you care if I spent a couple of hours with Mia?
I don't care. She sighs and takes a sip of wine.
I like her, Camden. We're adults. We can be friends. There doesn't have to be any drama.
Am I causing drama? I ask Chip, who just shakes his head, still chewing.
I have a question for you, Steph says.
Oh, good. I roll my eyes and snag another piece of bread. Mia always made excellent bread.
What do you think of her?
I don't know her, remember?
Knowing what you do, what do you think?
She's intelligent, an excellent chef.
Jesus H. Christ, Camden, answer the fucking question.
She's amazing. Is that what you want to hear? She's a stellar chef. She's smart and beautiful. That was never a question. I've known that she's amazing for years, and seeing her today only cements that fact. What do you want from me?
That, she replies with a smile. Just that.
I didn't sleep much last night. That's nothing new. I rarely sleep for longer than 3 hours at a time. But I didn't sleep at all last night. I kept thinking about Mia, how she looks, what she said, how I feel about her. I shouldn't feel anything about her. She's a colleague, and I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations has expired on the whole she left me while I was at work and annulled the marriage thing. We were young, too young to get married. It was probably all for the best. But I'm pulled to her in a way that has never happened to me before or since. I'm no saint. There have been women, but never one that I regretted moving on from. And now, here I am, 10 years later, working with this amazing human who can still take the breath from my lungs. I don't know what I want from her, or if I want anything at all, but I'm excited to work with her today. We always enjoyed cooking together. It's how we decided to be roommates. My old roomie moved out, and I couldn't afford the place on my own. She was in my culinary program and needed a place. It seemed logical and convenient. We were partners in class and knew we got along well. But what I didn't consider was that not only is Mia fun to work with, she's sexy as fuck when she cooks. I couldn't keep my hands off her. That's something that I'll have to work on. I don't need a sexual harassment suit. The thought makes me grin as I walk into the Starbucks down the street from Seduction.
If there's one thing that I remember about Mia, aside from how it feels to be next to her when she's naked, it's that she's one grouchy person before coffee. Maybe she's already had some, but coming in with backup can't hurt. It's just 7:15 when I arrive. I'm early, but Cammie is coming out of the front door. She smiles when she sees me. "Hi," she says. "Good morning. I'm early." "Well, Mia's in the kitchen. I just had to finish up some payroll stuff, and my computer at home finally gave up the ghost, so I came into the office. Employees still have to get paid." I nod, and she points at the coffee. "For Mia?" "It is." "Going in with ammo. You're smart." "She likes coffee." She nods. "She's not really a morning person." "Are you trying to warn me?" "It's never a bad thing to have all of the information." "True." She tilts her head and props her hands on her hips, watching me. "How long were you together before?" "She didn't tell you?" She simply shakes her head no. "A few months." "Did you love her?" I frown and she shakes her head. "Forget I asked. I'm nosy by nature, especially when it comes to my girls. She's important to me." It's like talking to Addie last night. "I'm just here for a job, Cammie, and I have a soft spot for Mia. I'm not a jerk."
"Are you sure?"
"I don't recall ever being called a jerk," I reply honestly. "And it's not my intent to hurt anyone's feelings. I don't want to talk about her past with you if she hasn't already told you herself."
"I get that," she says, and holds up her hands in surrender. "And I even approve of that. It means you have integrity, and I respect it. No need to tell me secrets. I just wanted to point out that she can be tough to work with, but it just means that she wants everything to be perfect."
"Well, then she and I are on the same page there." Cammie grins.
"Go on in. I'll lock the door behind you. Have a good morning."
"You too." I walk past her through the empty restaurant to the kitchen. The door is propped open and music is playing from a wireless speaker on the counter. Adele is setting fire to the rain, and Mia is moving her hips back and forth as she puts dry goods away, her back to me. She's wearing a sweatshirt, flashdance style, exposing one perfect shoulder. She's in black leggings and sandals with a closed toe. Her curly black hair is piled on top of her head in a messy bun, and I want nothing more than to shake it loose and grab it tightly, just the way she likes it, while I...
"You're early."
I shake my head, clearing my thoughts, and look into her blue eyes. "I'm always early."
"Hmm."
She walks into the freezer and then comes out with a big pan full of roast.
"I need to prep this and get it in the oven."
"French dips for lunch?"
"It's the special," she replies.
"It'll take me 5 minutes and then I'll have time for you."
"I can help."
"Not necessary." I move next to her and she glares up at me.
"No means no, Camden."
My lips twitch and I can't help but touch the end of her nose with my finger. "You're still not a morning person."
"I have knives," she replies. "Lots of knives."
"So noted." Her eyes zero in on the coffee.
"Is that for me?"
"It is." She stops and turns away from the beef.
"Is it an Americano?"
"Right again." She sighs.
"God damn it."
"What's wrong?"
"You brought me coffee."
"You like coffee?"
"Yeah, and you're going to make me be nice to you, and that wasn't part of the plan."
I chuckle and pass the cup to her. "I'm a likable guy." She takes a sip, considering me.
"You're okay."
I raise a brow.
"Thank you for the coffee."
"You're welcome."
"Now go away so I can do this. Being watched makes me nervous."
"And you've agreed to be on TV?" I cock a brow, and she narrows her eyes on me.
"Yes, smarty pants, because it's what's best for the restaurant."
I take a sip of my coffee, watching her sip her own, taking her in. "I've watched you cook dozens, if not hundreds, of dishes."
"It made me nervous then, too,"
she mutters, surprising me. "Why didn't you say anything?" She shrugs that bare shoulder, and my cock twitches. "Damn it. Maybe it's best if I don't watch her cook." So, I turn and walk out of the kitchen. I need more coffee. And a fucking cold shower.
Chapter 3. Mia. How am I going to do this?
He's been here for 5 minutes, and I feel unfocused and just ridiculous.
He brought me coffee, and he remembered the way I order it from Starbucks. How could he possibly remember that?
He can't be nice to me. I won't survive this if he's nice. He'll bring me coffee, and maybe flirt with me a little, and then he'll leave after the taping, and I'll be sad. It's just stupid.
Get a grip,
I mutter to myself and set the heavy pan of roast beef in the oven to slow roast for the lunch crowd. I walk out to the dining room, but it's empty. Of course, now I'm ready for him, and he's nowhere to be found. Camden? Maybe my morning bitch show scared him off for good. It's probably for the best. I march back into the kitchen and begin chopping vegetables for salad. It's usually the sous chef's job, but I'm here now, so I might as well work. Unfortunately, with no sleep and only one cup of coffee in me, I'm not as focused as I should be, so I work slower, sure to not cut myself. I've worked many a night with a cut hand, and it sucks balls, so I avoid it at all costs. With the veggies chopped, I turn to fetch the ingredients for the house-made dressings, and suddenly another cup of Starbucks is under my nose.
Thank God for Addie.
Oh, I love you, I murmur and take the cup, then a long sip.
I had no idea that Starbucks was all it would take to hear those words from you.
I spin and stare in horror at Camden. I thought you left.
Clearly, we both needed more coffee before we tried to kill each other.
I narrow my eyes and take another sip.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a fucking delight in the morning.
He chuckles and crosses his arms over his chest, leans against the countertop and smiles at me.
You're certainly beautiful in the morning.
I blink slowly.
Yes, looking homeless is all the rage these days.
His eyes do that damn smolder thing they do when he's thinking sexy thoughts.
You don't look homeless. You look rumpled.
Stop! I point my finger at him. It's too early for your smolder.
My what?
You know what. And it's too early for it. We need to get to work.
Are you going to always be this bossy?
Yep.
I smile brilliantly and grab a notebook.
Let's go sit at a table.
We grab our coffees and settle into a booth. I'm across from him now, with a table between us, but he's still got that smolder on his face. I ignore it and do my best to remain professional.
Have you given any thought to dishes you'd like to do?
I concentrate on the paper, writing Mia on one side and Camden on the other, then draw a nice thick line between the two names.
You always liked lists.
Lists are an imperative part of life. Without lists, you'd forget everything you have to do, and we can't have that.
No, we can't have that. Stop biting your lip.
I glance up in surprise. I wasn't.
You were.
He shifts in his seat and rubs his fingertips over his forehead.
Let's hear your ideas first.
Okay. I set the pen down and rub my hands together. I'd like to do one fish dish. Maybe salmon. I think fish is something that a lot of people are intimidated by because it's delicate and it's easy to screw it up, but we can show them easier ways to make a delicious piece of fish.
I like that,
he says with a nod. So I write fish under my name on the list.
Now your turn.
Cajun chicken Alfredo,
he says immediately.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It is.
He agrees with a nod.
I learned it from this old guy just outside of Baton Rouge. It's fantastic.
On the list, I murmur and write Cajun Alfredo Goodness under Camden's name.
I think it would be fun to do a quirky appetizer, like a...
I have an amazing stuffed mushroom recipe with chorizo that's pretty amazing.
I have one, too, but I use an Italian sausage. We could both do them with our different recipes, and viewers can make the one that looks best to them.
I like it,
he says with a nod.
And we can try each other's on camera, too, and give feedback.
That's a good idea.
As a viewer, I love it when chefs do that. It makes me want to make the recipe even more.
I agree.
Who's going to judge the dishes, I ask. I don't think Trevor mentioned that.
No, he didn't. I'm not sure.
This is fun. I do a little shimmy in my seat and write stuffed mushrooms under both of our names. Let's do two more.
I think it'd be fun to use a grill. We could do a barbecue dish, or even something as simple as burgers with our own twist to them.
Have you tried the burgers with the cheese inside of them? He blinks for a second, gathering his thoughts.
Yes.
It should be illegal, I reply. I like the grill idea. Let's add it. I write yummy grill under our names.
Have you honed your dessert skills over the past 10 years? He asks with a grin.
I always made good desserts.
I seem to remember a situation with a smoky apartment, fire alarms, and burnt brownies. The fire department showed up.
That wasn't my fault, I counter. If you hadn't talked me into getting naked, I wouldn't have... I stop and sit back, frowning down at my notebook.
You wouldn't have what?
Nothing. I shake my head and write dessert under my column. I make some signature desserts we can decide on later. I move to climb out of the booth, but he puts his hand on my arm, stopping me cold. What?
What just happened?
Look, Camden, I think we're going to have fun cooking together. We always did before. There's no reason that we won't now. But we don't really need to rehash all of the good old days. And you can just back off with a smolder, too.
I don't have a smolder, he says, frustration hanging heavily in his voice. I was trying to have a fun conversation with you. We're going to be working together on national television. It's not going to work if it looks like you hate me during the whole thing.
I don't hate you.
No?
No.
Then why the attitude?
I don't have an attitude. But if you'd like to see one, I'm sure I can oblige.
Jesus, you're difficult.
He mutters and rubs his hands over his whole face this time. I can turn on Susie Sunshine for the cameras, I reply. And I'm not trying to be a bitch. I'm really not. But there's no need to talk about before. Between his smolder and hashing out the past, it's going to be impossible to remain professional. I'm so damn drawn to him. And that's not what we're here for. That's not the plan. Not to mention he never said he wants me. I refuse to embarrass myself with this man. So the more distant I am, the better.
Oh, we're going to talk about it, he replies grimly.
I have to get in the kitchen.
I know, but you can't run away every time I see you, and we will talk. But it won't be here.
Hi, Pot, I'm Kettle. I seem to remember seeing you run off to the restroom when I made my way to your table last night. His hands fist on the table and he takes a deep breath.
That wasn't the same.
Okay. I roll my eyes and move to stand again, but he holds me back again.
We'll talk, Mia.
Well, I don't plan to see you outside of here, so...
He just grins, and I know I've lost this little argument.
Are you having a nice time with your sister? I ask, trying to change the subject.
It's good to see her, he says with a nod. You seem to get along well.
She was always nice to me.
Does she get to talk about the past with you?
She hasn't brought it up, I reply. Besides, she never saw me naked.
He says. She and Chip are down on vacation for the week. I think we're having dinner on the river this evening, if you'd like to join us.
Hell no. Thanks. But I'll be working.
Do you work every day?
He asks. Not every day.
When was your last day off?
I frown, thinking, but I can't remember. It was probably a week ago.
That's a lie, he says easily. You can't remember.
If you're so fucking psychic, why are you asking me questions?
Why are you so on edge?
I take a deep breath so I don't throat punch him. I'm on edge because he puts me on edge, and he does it without even trying. Have a nice dinner tonight. I stand and gather my notebook. Oh, and thanks for the coffees, too.
Shall we start cooking tomorrow morning?
I nod, resigned to never sleeping again. Same time.
I'll be here.
See you then. I walk back to my kitchen and start making a list of extra ingredients that I'll need to order for these recipes. I'm not working tonight, but I can't spend time with Camden outside of this project. I'm still ridiculously attracted to him, and I'll make a fool of myself. I already did that once with him. I won't do it again. My phone buzzes with a text from Cammy. Don't forget dinner tonight at our house. 6 o'clock. I smile and reply, I'll be there. What can I bring? The dots blink on the phone as she replies, a bottle of red. I have the rest covered. You got it. Spending the evening with my best friend and my brother is much less likely to end in catastrophe than if I'd accepted Camden's invitation. Oh, God, I'm so full, Cammy says as she unbuttons the top of her jeans and lounges back in her chair on the patio. It was good, I reply.
Why do you sound surprised?
Landon, my brother, asks.
I can cook, you know.
I'm not surprised. I am, however, hopeful that I'll still be alive tomorrow.
Har har,
he says, then plants a kiss on Cammy's cheek.
How's your day?
Long,
I reply with a yawn. I didn't sleep last night. I had to be in my kitchen at about 7 this morning to start working with Camden, so I'm tired. How did that go? Cammy asks. Fine, I shrug. He's nice enough. Are you ever going to tell us what happened? Cammy asks. We've tried to be patient and wait until you offer the information, but I think you have top-level security clearance with the CIA, because getting information out of you is impossible.
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you, I reply with a sassy wink. I have security clearance with the Navy, so you can tell me,
Landon says. His voice sounds like he's being funny, but his eyes are hard.
He hurt you, didn't he? I'm going to have to kill him and make it look like an accident.
Scoot, Cammy's cat, comes out onto the patio and jumps up into the chaise next to Landon. He curls up and purrs loudly. I frown and shake my head. He didn't really do anything wrong. Neither of them replies. They just sit quietly watching me. Maybe it's time I talk about it in detail with someone, rather than just give out bits and pieces. I'm not going to have a more supportive audience than my best friend and my brother. Camden and I went to culinary school together up in Seattle. He was so hot. I mean, you've seen what he looks like now, and to be honest, he's gotten hotter. But at about 20, he was just... I can only imagine, Cammy says with a wink. He's a hottie.
Hey,
Landon says. You're a hottie too, babe, she says and kisses his shoulder. Keep talking. We were lab partners, so we worked together in the kitchen about 3 times a week. We worked well together. We laughed a lot, and he was just a nice guy. He sounds horrible, Cammy says with a wink. Yeah, it was tough. I sigh and stand, not able to sit anymore, and pace the big patio. One day he came into class and looked stressed out. Turns out his roommate had to suddenly move out. So that meant that Camden was left without a roommate, and he was worried that he'd have to quit school because he couldn't afford it all himself.
So he doesn't come from a wealthy family, Landon says.
No, in fact, both of his parents were killed when he was young. Like, maybe around 12, I think. And his older sister, Stephanie, raised him. Wow, Cammy says. That's sad. Anyway, at about that same time, the house that I was renting with a couple other girls was being sold out from under us. So we needed to find a new place. I remember that, Cammy says.
I don't remember any of this,
Landon says with a scowl. You're off being a sexy pilot, Cammy replies, waving him off. Scoot jumps off the chaise and begins to follow me around the patio as I pace. So when he told me that he needed a roommate, I said I did too, and it made sense to just move in together. Wait, you were dating him? Cammy asks. No, we were just friends. Okay, she says with a nod. Just clarifying. It was a 2-bedroom apartment, not far from the school. He already had all the furniture, so it was great because all I had was my personal stuff. We got along well. I grin, and then feel myself blush. Really well, actually. After I moved in and we were spending more time together, he couldn't keep his hands off me.
I don't want to know this part,
Landon says, but Cammy hushes him. I do. I really do. Keep talking. Now, I need to clarify that we never said we were girlfriend and boyfriend.